We're in the story of, in the book of Genesis. It's the life and story of a chap called Jacob. He's the father of the nation of Israel. And Jacob, he'd been in exile in the distant north with his uncle, who turned out to be his father-in-law in the end. And after these 14 years, he was tricked into marrying one wife and then finished up with another one as well, and had to work 7 years for both of them. For each of them, that is. As Rachel gave birth to Joseph, that's the last of this group of children that he's got. He's got 11 kids now. Jacob said to Laban, "Send me on my way so I can go back to my own homeland. Give me my wives and children for whom I've served you, and I will be on my way. You know how much work I've done for you." Well, how much work was? 14 years of work for Laban to pay for these wives. There you are, lads. If you had to do that, what would you do, eh? But why does he want to go home? Why is it Canaan is home to him? It's not just where he was born, but there's something more to it than that. It's the place where God had promised him. That would be his land, for his people. And so there's that still spiritual thing in Jacob's heart, as well as being a bit homesick, I suppose, wanting to see the folks back home after 14 years. That's quite a long time, isn't it? He wants to go home. He says to Uncle Laban, or father-in-law Laban, "I want to go home. Let me go." Yes, sir, please. Yes. Laban said to him, "If I have found favour in your eyes, please stay. I've learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you." I've learned by divination. That shows the background that Laban was involved in. He was involved with the occult somewhere along the line to find out things. You can find out things, and they may be true, but the danger of the devil is he takes his opportunity to trap you through what he says. And Laban was involved with all of this, it seems to me. But he found out something that was true. He discovered, I don't think he needed to consult any form of occult stuff to find out, God was blessing him because Jacob was there. And there's a lesson for you, brothers and sisters. You can be a blessing to others just by being you as one of God's children. That's important, yeah? But the reason he says please stay is because he's interested in wanting to get out of Jacob, of course. He's more self-concerned, but he's still got to admit that God's blessing him because of Jacob. Next, please. He added, "Name your wages and I will pay them. Name your wages and I will pay them." What's the driving factor in Laban's mind? Is money. Everybody's got a price as far as he's concerned. You know, name your price, Jacob, and you'll stay. Well, Jacob doesn't have a price, but he's got a plan. Or at least he will have in a little while anyway. So next then, please. Yeah. Jacob said to him, "You know how I have worked for you and how your livestock has fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now then, when may I do something for my own household?" So he realizes he's got a big family, he's got to care for them, he needs to get some backup for himself and his family. And he tells Laban what Laban has discovered. "Yes, you've been blessed, you had very little when I arrived, and now it's a lot. And the reason for that is, not because I'm so great, but because God has blessed you, because he blesses me." That's amazing, isn't it? So don't take the credit when God blesses others because you're there. Just remember, it's God using you to bless somebody else. Right, next one, please. "What shall I give you?" he asked. "Don't give me anything," Jacob replied. "But if you will do this one thing for me," just one thing I'm only asking, and "what shall I give you?" is what he says. But I think he's thinking, what can I get out of this? I may be giving Laban a bit of a bad press here, but I don't read very nice things about him. That's the problem. Right, then, next one, please. Yeah. This is what it's going to be about. Yes, we're going to do a little bit of science. Is that all right this morning? Yeah. Won't try and wear you out with it too much. But in the flocks of goats and sheep, generally the flocks of sheep were white, and the flocks of goats were black. You could tell the difference then, couldn't you? That's easy, yes? Right. The great majority of goats were black, and the great majority of sheep were white. Okay, that's where we're starting from. Next one, please. So Jacob says, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep and every dark-coloured lamb and every spotted or speckled goat. And they will be my wages. So he says, don't do anything for me. I'll just go and collect my wages now. The spotty ones and the stripy ones, I'll have them. And the majority, the big majority, are yours. Yeah? Right? They will be my wages. And my honesty will testify for me in the future. Whenever you check on the wages you pay me, any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark-coloured, will be considered stolen. So there we have the speckled goat and the spotty sheep. All right, that's what we've got. Next then, please. Agreed, said Laban. Let it be as you have said. Now, I put that, Laban says, okay, but I think he's got his fingers crossed. What he means is, I've got a plan. And he's about to diddle Laban once again. Yes. It looks like love, but it's a trap. Agreed. But he's actually said it, so he's bound by it in the end, as it turns out. Next then, please. That same day, Laban removed all the male goats that were spotted or streaked or spotted, and all the speckled or spotted female goats, all that had white on them, and all the dark-coloured lambs, and he placed them in the care of his sons. Then he put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob. So what happened with Jacob? I don't know if he sent him off somewhere else or something, but while Jacob's out of town, as it were, Laban goes around and cleans out all the dark spotty ones and hands them over to his sons. Their flocks are somewhere near, I assume. Hands them all over to his sons. So all Jacob's got left to look after are white ones, white sheep, and black goats. And then he says, and then he put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob. That's what you call doing a runner. He's out of town, unavailable, and he hopes that by the time the 3 days are up, Jacob will have calmed down. That's the idea, anyway. So, he's a nice fellow to know his Laban, isn't he? Yeah? Have you met people like that?
Yeah.
Well, people who take advantage, well, Laban's one of them. Next then, please. Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. Now, that, to my mind, is one of the most astounding verses in this chapter. After all that Laban's just gone and done to him, Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. If it had been you or me, we'd have said stop it, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
But no, he's going to do it. And I've just thought, what a reaction. I mean, that's quite amazing. I think Jacob's learning a few things about the Lord. And this is the verse I fitted to it. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That's Proverbs. Jacob, you don't know what's going on. You can't understand why he's doing the dirty on you again. It's all a mess. And God's saying, trust me. Just keep trusting me. I'll sort it. Yeah? And Jacob does that. The fact that he continues looking after the sheep means he's trusting the Lord about it. And, well, when you trust the Lord, expect things. And let's look at our next one, please. God steps in with a great suggestion. I'll call it that. It's a dream. Do you count sheep when you go to sleep? Well, Jacob was counting goats this particular time, as it turns out. The angel of God appeared to Jacob in a dream. You know who the angel of God is? It's Jesus before Jesus was born. The angel of God appeared to Jacob in a dream and said, look up and see all that all the male goats are mating with the flock are streaked, speckled or spotted. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. So God says, the Lord says to him, Jacob, see in the dream, the ones that are breeding are the speckled ones, the spotty ones. You got that? Yes. I've seen what Laban's doing. Now, you just take a note of that dream. Now, he's got to interpret it, of course. But it's pretty plain what the idea is about. But the reason I put that in is, have you heard of Gregor Mendel? Very, very famous man in science circles. Gregor Mendel was the father, was the father of genetics. He was a Moravian monk. In the monastery, they grew peas, and he noticed that peas had different types of shapes and sizes and all that sort of thing. And he started studying them, and he became what we know as the father of genetics. He began to work out that you could cross certain types and you could predict what the results would be. because he started to understand what was going on inside in the genetics. Well, the interesting thing to my mind is Gregor Mendel started figuring out how it was happening, but Jacob got the message 4,000 years before it. Do you know why? Because God knows about genetics. Did you know that? Because he made it. That's right. So next one, please. And this is the interesting bit that I think is really quite good. Laban may have removed the spotty sheep and goats, but God hadn't removed the spotty DNA. It's still in the flock. It's not been expressed in those that were white, but they're there. And next breeding cycle, out pop the spotty ones again. Right. Okay. Next one, please. Jacob, however, and this is quite fascinating, really, a bit strange in some ways. Jacob, however, took fresh-cut branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees and made white stripes on them by peeling the bark and exposing the white inner wood of the branches. Then he placed the peeled branches in all the watering troughs so that they would be directly in front of the flocks when they came to drink. So he's made these strange, isn't it? Stripy branches, and he's put them in the watering troughs in front of where the flocks come to drink. And that's what he's done. He's just set them up there. What's he doing? Is it some sort of magic, superstitious thing? I don't know what Jacob thought, but I've put this up here. What's going on there? Is the little chicks are following mummy? Are they not? Yeah. They do that. Well, I saw a terrible experiment, and it was this. When the chicks hatched, the first thing they saw that moved was a watering can. They'd done an experiment. Yes? And do you know what they followed after that? The watering can. They were what we call imprinted on the first thing that moves, and it's normally mummy, of course. What's going on, I think, is that he's affecting the mindset of the animals so that they're tuned into stripy and spotty ones. If they're going to mate with anyone, it's going to be a stripy and spotty one, if they can find one. You've got the idea. I think that's what's going on. Right, next one, please. Yeah. That's what they see when they turn up to water, yes? When the flocks were in heat and came to drink, they mated in front of the branches, and they bore young that were streaked or speckled or spotted. So they bore young, and of course I think God's at work in this. Interestingly, he can change the frequency at which animals appear, of course. But that, I think, what's going on there. Right, next one, please. Jacob set apart the young of the flock by themselves, so he's kept them separate, yes? But made the rest, they were the breeding animals, made the rest face the streaked and dark-coloured animals that belonged to Laban. So he's tuning them in to wanting to breed with spotty ones. Of course, they're not his anymore. They're just facing them, so they know what to look for when they turn up next time after a year or two of breeding. Yeah? Right. I assume Laban's sons kept their flocks with the spotty ones nearby. So that's Jacob's opportunity. Right, next one, please. Thus he made separate flocks for himself and did not put them with Laban's animals. This doesn't happen overnight. It's going to take a year at least, isn't it? Yeah. To find out they've got some spotty ones turning up again, of course. But when he's got spotty ones, he keeps them for himself, which he'd agreed, but he separates the others, so he's developing two different flocks, yes? Two different populations, gene populations we call them, yeah? Right, so he's making separate breeding flocks. And do you know which flocks he's going to breed from? It's spotty ones. Yes, next one, please. Right. Whenever the stronger females were in heat, Jacob would place the branches in the troughs in front of the animals so they would mate near the branches. But if the animals were weak, he would not place them there. So the weak animals went to Laban and the strong ones to Jacob. Two can play this game, it would seem, yes? And so it's called selection. He's selecting for certain types in the population. And he's selecting for the stronger ones. That's sensible, isn't it? Yeah. So the healthy, strongy, spotty ones are going to Jacob, and the dodgy ones are going to Laban. Right, next one, please. And God had told him this, by the way. Yes? Next one, please. How about that? In this way, the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks and maidservants and men servants and camels and donkeys. Well, where did he get the maidservants, men servants, camels and donkeys from? He bought them, I assume. And he bought them from the excess of his production process. So God is blessing this man abundantly. Yes. And Jacob became exceedingly prosperous. So God is providing for Jacob to provide for his family. That's what's going on. Yeah. Right, my, well, two to go, that's it, yeah? And this is what's going on, really, in the behind the scenes. And it's a verse from Proverbs again. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Mm-hmm. Yes? If that cage wasn't there, he'd be in trouble. God puts cages in. That's the point. When a man's ways please the Lord, he can stop those that want to harm you from harming you. That's the idea of what's going on there. Of course, he did it without a cage in the case of Daniel. But same idea. When a man's ways please the Lord, and the ladies, of course, your ladies are included in that. You knew that, though, didn't you? Yeah. When you please the Lord, he has a way of working things out. So my last one is this, yes? Don't panic, trust him. That's easier said than done, isn't it? Particularly when you've just been robbed.
Yeah.
Yeah, when things have all gone, what look like pear-shaped. But in the process of that happening, Jacob discovers how God wants to bless him through multiplying the flocks.
Mm.
Well, if he hadn't been in that situation, he wouldn't have discovered that, would he?
Mm.
So the things that we face, dear brothers and sisters, are opportunities. Redeem the time.
Mm-hmm.
See God's mind on it, as Laban did. Laban did, as Jacob did. And God gave him the vision, gave him the dream, and he started to do it. He was a good farmer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you work 14 years looking after sheep, you've probably learnt a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? And he's going to spend the next 6 years raising these flocks and get more and more spotty ones.
Yeah.
But these are healthy spots. You don't need antibiotics for these spots. Yeah, good one. But brothers and sisters, don't panic. Trust him. God knows what he's doing, even if you don't. And Jacob, he's learning. I think if Laban had done that to Jacob 10 years before, it wouldn't have been the same outcome at all. You know, God uses time in order to teach us a few things as well. Right, we'll stop there. Let's pray, shall we? Loving Lord, thank you for the grace you give us in the situations where we need an awful lot of it, Lord. Help us to be patient. Help us to be forgiving. Help us to trust you, Lord, when we cannot see the answers. Oh Lord, we know that you are God and you're able to do anything. Thank you, Lord. You know all about how we're made, even as Jacob discovered, Lord. You know what's the stuff inside us, Lord, because you put it there. Every cell of our body, every gene in our cells, Lord. Lord God, you know in such detail. Lord, what an amazing God you are. And we thank you, Lord, that we can put ourselves in your hands. Help us to trust you, Lord. Oh Lord, we need your grace to do that. Help us to trust you when everything else seems crazy. Lord, thank you. Your promise still stands, Lord, that as we put our trust in you, you will be there with us to guide and help and protect and lead us. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Mm-hmm.